Hi, I am Coach Emilio. Welcome to the Escuela del Sur. If you are a sports coach, do you want to find more freedom in your decisions and opportunities and find solutions in the day-to-day work of your profession? This podcast is for you. I will tell you from my experience as a coach in Dubai and interviews with coaches around the world, the habits, techniques, valuable background, and tools that can guide you and give you more results with less effort. I invite you to give your coaching career more possibilities and confidence in the competitive world of sport. Listen to our episode to get ideas to optimize your professional profile with continuous improvement, so you can get more results, improving your quality of life along with your profession and your passion. We start.
Welcome to Escuela del Sur. We are here with an incredible ex-athlete, ex-gymnast from Romania, and now a coach in Dubai, Sabina Gojocar. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad you accept this interview. We have a lot for ask and answer because your background is incredible. It's long from your national team and also from now your experience in Dubai and Israel. But we will go from the beginning. The audience want to know who you are.
Who I am or what I do?
Who you are. This is the first question.
I'm many things to many people, I guess. I'm a wife, I am a coach, I'm a leader, I think. I'm a daughter, I'm a sister. So I'm from Romania, as you know. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing gymnastics for over 14 years.
The city in Romania?
I come from Sibiu. That's the center of the country, a very beautiful place to visit. So I've been practicing gymnastics for 14 years. I've been in my club in Sibiu from 4 years old to 13, and then I've been selected to the national team, and I've been with the national team for 4 years. At that time, the junior team was training in Onești, and I've been there in Onești, Nadia Comăneci City, for 1 year, and then the senior team was training in Deva, so we moved to Deva and we trained for 3 years there. A lot of years, some people do it longer, and for me, it was just 14 years full of gymnastics, only gymnastics.
What is your first memory you remember?
I always say this story because my first memory is actually the first day I went to gymnastics. It was memorable maybe because my mom put me in an alert mood on the way to the gymnastics. She was concerned whether I'm too young to start gymnastics, so she asked me on the way, what will you do? What will you say if they say you're too young to start? You know, and I never answered because it was kind of like a alert question. So when I arrived there and I instantly loved the place, kind of like Disneyland for me, you know, like in front of my eyes. So the coach there has asked me to climb on the wall bars, you know, the wall bar, walk on the beam, to jump on the bar. You know, all these skills that we also do for assessments back in my country to see if the kid is courageous enough, if they have, you know, like agility and if they have courage and if they have some natural strength, you know. But for me, it was just fun. And, you know, I loved it. So since I loved it, I remember my mom's question when the coach asked me, after the assessment, he was like, okay, Sabina, so how old are you? I was worried he's not going to accept me. So I said, I'm 5 years old, you know.
And you was four?
I was almost four. 3 years and I think eight or 11 months.
You was ready for gymnastics?
I'm not sure what the coach saw. I just know what I saw. You know, those eyes when they go like pop up, like in Tom and Jerry when they see something they like. So, yeah, that was for me. I don't remember many days of my gymnastics years in the beginning. I remember just a few moments. You know, I just know that I loved it, you know. Because it is said that we don't remember necessarily the experiences that happened to us, but we do remember the feeling, you know. So that's kind of like stuck with me, the feeling of
emotion, the sensation from these days.
Yeah, maybe the challenge that came with it. Every time I discovered that I could do certain things, you know, it was like absolute pleasure for me, you know. It's like you conquer yourself. You conquer every move that's, you know, being taught to you, and you repeat it over and over again. And if you're ambitious enough, you know, when you succeeded, then you feel this pleasure, I guess.
Who was the jumping between the foundation, the fundamental gymnastics, to go to juniors? Or who was, what you feel, have the leader of Romania?
Look, our training in club in my city, but my coach was already like prepared for us to reach a certain goal. Yeah. So as you start with the end in mind, right? Okay, so we prepare this generation to go to Olympics. We have to plan it and what we're training this way. So my performance started gradually since I was already in the club. But my competition, like the international competition, didn't really start it until I actually went to the national team. So I would say that the difference, the transition from my club to the national team is mostly felt in the fact that I was moving from my home. And now I was moving with other kids who were in gymnastics, far from my parents, and we were only focused on gymnastics.
How old you was when you made this jump?
13
years old.
I would say the first year was the most difficult, but after that, I just, you know, everybody adapts to what's necessary, I guess. And my parents were able to come and visit from time to time in a weekend. So, yeah.
Oh, was challenging. I was 13 years old, live alone, compete, start the training more times a week. Something not easy, I can imagine.
Yeah, but it's done. Some people adapt easier than others, I guess. And I think I was okay. You know, of course, I miss my family, but we were so busy and so focused on what we're doing, you know, then, and everything was so structured. Then once you get the ball rolling, you just roll with it. Yeah.
Difficulty and more skills.
Yeah. So,
what was the first place you traveled internationally?
Well, my first official with the national team, when I was in the club level, my first international outing was in France. So it was like a France-Romania competition between clubs. But with the national team, I really don't remember. Either it was like Turkey or Bulgaria or... I don't remember.
But you travel a lot. You told me Hawaii. It was in
Hawaii. That was in 2001, I think. Yes, I really enjoyed that place.
Tokyo.
That's Japan. Yeah, Japan in 2001 as well for Kenichi Cup. I do remember a few competitions. I don't remember all of them, but I do remember a few places and a few competitions that I attended.
So, Europeans.
That's definitely, I remember that.
Why do you remember this?
Maybe because of the meaning of the event, European Championship. You know, though for me it was like a junior competition to which I have performed really well. I would say it was a peak of my performance. and it happened to be in the year of 2000 when I was 14 or 15. I was 15, I think, already.
Yeah, this was in France? Where was the...
Yes, in France.
Yeah, because Eddie Bouchardin told me, he remembered you. He saw you in the competition because he was junior.
Was he there?
Yeah, Eddie Bouchardin. Yeah, was sent a great to Eddie. Yeah, and what other... what about the world champion with your team? This competition when you reached the...
In the world championship. Yeah. That was in Ghent, in Belgium. It was, I remember it because of many things, but I just turned 16 on the way to the world championship. So that was like a special gift for me for my 16th birthday. You know, when I'm in these competitions, I feel like I'm just like, just moving forward, like going
with the flow.
Just going through it, you know. I remember a bit of the challenges that I had there with getting used to the new apparatus. I had some shoulder pain at that time that I remember, but that was a training moment. But when I'm in competition, I don't remember anything else than just doing my thing, you know. I don't remember people around me, who encouraged, who said what, or what is the audience doing. I just like remember the what I'm feeling and what I'm doing in that moment. And there are a few moments, if you take a timer and you calculate how much time you're actually spending on these events, yeah, it's like, what, 1 minute and a half on floor? It's like 1 minute and a half on beam. Yeah, 30. 40 to 1 minute. My bar was probably just 40 seconds average, but, you know, safe. And then 2 volts, 15, how much time I spent? 5 minutes total. 5 minutes in actual competing, you know, in which all I remember is I'm holding my breath, doing stuff, and all this pump and adrenaline that I was feeling because of the anxiety and then, you know, pressure that came with it. So, yeah. And after that moment of awakening is, oh, okay, I'm done. I finished my competition. Let's see what place. Probably I haven't realized until even the ceremony was over, you know. I was just doing my job, okay? So I just do what I know and, you know, let the pieces fall where they may.
How many teammates on the...
At that time, I think we were six.
Six, yeah.
And at that time and now, you get to choose who is...
Who will compete at the apparatus.
You know? So initially, I was meant to compete only three apparatuses. So it would have been vault, beam and floor, which were my best, and bars I was okay, but just I didn't have like a high starting value. Yes, but just last moment the coaches have decided I need to step in and do my bars, even though my value was not too high, but I was safe with it. They knew exactly how much I'm going to get, you know, for that bar. So it was safe. You know, sometimes it's a strategy that as a coach, you need to consider, you know, whether you'd want a high value, but
it's risky.
It's risky, yeah, to fall or to, you know, something happen and then you lose more. Then start tiny bit lower, but someone is safer. So, in that regards, I feel proud, you know, that I've been chosen and I've done my job, you know, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. How many things happen in one competition? Imagine every single team has different strategies. And just this coach catch this girl and say, you must do now bars. And you're like, what? What, you were surprised or just in the competition or on the training body?
That was just, you know, because you have the qualification, right? And after the qualification, they strategize and they say, this goes here, that goes there, you do this, that. You know, so you're like, okay, I'm not doing bars, fine, you know, and then I'm doing bars. Yeah, but all these changes, we were already psychologically trained to face anything in expectation, you know, like at that level, you have to be ready for anything. Mentor training starts before the actual big event. Yeah. Same as you train every skill separately. That's how you train also the competitions, by going to other competitions or by mimicking these competitions in a controlled environment, right? And you try to change the environment every time and see how are your subjects behaving in it. So like this spontaneous competitions, or like, okay, now you don't do on this beam, now you compete on this beam, the beam that you don't like, or something like this. Anything, you know, like anything that could
prepare.
It could appear in a real competition.
Wow. What about music? Because some coaches in Europe, they put a cassette on the past with the noise of the people. I mean,
I don't think we got this one, but sometimes we'd have, our compound was somewhat in a school, you know, like, and we'd have our own
facilities,
yeah. And some colleagues from our school would be invited, to come and just to watch a competition, or like to, you know, just to mimic an audience or something, you know.
Nice. This is all this. There's a lot of things back behind scene when you compete, because now you see when they compete, they enter in the warm up and fire and all black and only one light on the beam and the geologist. I think the localization from your mind when you are on the beam, I don't know. Everything different is compared a different beam, different position of the beam, the judges. And the light just above you, and all black.
Well, I'm not sure if they still go to the competition. There was one competition that I attended, and it was similar to this. And it was one. This was not a competition. It was mostly like a gala, like after an European. Some gymnasts were invited to go into this gala, like a show.
A show.
You know, and I remember. After I just became the European champion on beam, I went to this gala and fell 3 times on beam. You know, it's a bit embarrassing, you know, like, okay, in the competition, you've been presented as the world champion of the beam event. And then when you do the show, you fall 3 times. But it was dark, pitch dark in the whole facility, only, as you said, only the beam was right. So it was like completely different.
Well, you have
like
the references.
Exactly. You don't get to get outside when you're doing anything. Just the beam. But in the other competition, it's in France, in Marseille. The specific of the competition is like every year it's about the same, but it's not that, you know, like it's not that dark, because this is actually a competition, and it's safety, I'm assuming, right? So you actually get to see a bit more of the podium. But the competition is a bit like a show, like
dynamic.
So that's a beautiful competition. One of the floor routines that I remember for some reason is in the Marseille competition. Somehow that environment, their audience made me remember this moment. And I remember how I felt so confident with the floor routine. I think it's somewhere in YouTube.
Sometimes we have a lot of videos of you.
I look at it and I'm like, you know, can't believe that's me. And I miss that feeling.
You saw the transition in gymnastics of what? From 2000... these days, I mean, the boat, for example, bars. What was this transition in gymnastics when you see the table on both change? You need to change all. Was more easy and in Sydney when they changed the boat on bars when they, if you remember, when they have this cylinder between the high bar and the lower bar. Was a lot of things happened in 2000 to 2004.
I think I've competed in a lot of different bars. The only difference would be the outside of it, but not necessarily the distance and the height. Okay, so the railings or like whatever holds the bar, they've been different. It's just more like perception difference, you know, just because, you know, these bars are up here and they're not down here. When you do like a touch it or anything, you just have you have the impression you're going to kick the bars, but you don't, you know. So I did have the chance to either compete or train on different ones. That wasn't a big change. The big change was the vault. However, to me, it appeared that it's easier to compete on the table vault. Because imagine, you know, especially for women, you could do a round of backing spin, you have to, you know, go backwards and make sure you land exactly on those 30 centimeters. So now you have this table where you, the area is a lot bigger, can go a bit further away and or a bit more forward, and you're still safe. So the reason they changed this for safety, first of all, and I think it was a very good change. Just in the beginning, we would have that perception you're going to kick the vault. You know, if you do round or backhand spring, let's say, layout.
At your Chenko, when you had the...
Because, you know, before you didn't have that much...
surface.
Yeah. You know, so you can go with your legs anyway. But now you need to make sure you're kicking a bit further away, yeah? So, or at least high enough. Other than that, no big changes. Maybe good changes in terms of equipment, okay? Right, the floor became more springy, like the beam became more like softer on the surface, but still springy and flexible. So, yeah, I am not practicing anymore. I can't imagine what's now.
The difficulty increases. Imagine when you did the floor, when you was a kid, was without the springs. Was like a rhythmic gymnastic floor.
So yeah.
Without springs.
That's how I started in my club, actually. It was underneath, that was just like a
carpet,
yeah. There were like mats made of this more like tougher foam, I don't know how to call it. Then carpet, then on diagonals where we would do the acro series, we'd have another set of mats just to make it softer. I think that floor actually built my legs, okay? Because I was training on it for how many years before I...
So when you changed to the springs floor, the floor with springs,
yeah,
it was more easy for you?
It was more easy. And, well, but also my skills has gradually improved, so I needed a spring floor anyway, you know, and that's the one point. So I think when I moved to the national team, I would have a spring floor. So I think that would be my advantage, you know, in the club level competitions. Whenever I reach competition on a real floor, I would be flying probably. But when I reach the national team, of course, we'd have the best equipment for us. So yeah.
And well, the episode has come to an amazing end. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you next time on the podcast for Coaches of the World, Escuela del Sur. Don't forget to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and check out all the episodes available on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, LinkedIn, and YouTube. As Escuela del Sur. See you next time!